Welcome to this edition of Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson.
Wisdom says, live by faith. Now, the other voice is going to say, don't do that. Don't take any risk. Just settle in, be comfortable, have an easy life. Just try to get by. Just make it. Don't worry about excelling or anything like that. But, you know, wisdom says, no, live by faith. Trust God and let him lead your life. Let him lead you in an adventure.
Today on Back to Basics, Pastor Brian continues his series, The Songs of the Saints. Join us as Pastor Brian concludes his teaching on Psalm 90 in a message titled, Teach Us to Number Our Days. Now, here's Pastor Brian.
God also simultaneously being a holy and a righteous God who has requirements and who does judge and on occasion punish his children, discipline them in forms of punishment that are corrective and meant to turn them away from their sin. And so we see that built into this psalm. And he's acknowledging the fact that there's been God's anger, that there has been God's wrath. But then he brings us back around to the beautiful reality that our God is a God of compassion and a God of mercy. And so he comes to that in verses 13 through 17. And so look what he says. He says, return, O Lord, how long? And have compassion on your servants. O satisfy us early with your mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days in which you have afflicted us, the years in which we have seen evil. So Moses he's praying in a sense here, and he's saying to the Lord, Lord, we've been disciplined. We've been judged. We've been punished. But Moses understood God as a compassionate and a merciful God. So he's now saying, Lord, would you now turn around and would you bless us? That's his prayer. And then he goes on, and I think in verses 16 through 17, what we see the confidence of Moses that is indeed what God will do. Look what he says. He says, let your work appear to your servants and your glory to their children, and let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. I see this as an absolute confidence on the part of Moses, an absolute conviction on the part of Moses, that because of God's compassion, that because of his mercy, this is exactly what we can expect from him. And so as we think about even our own sins, as we think about our failures, as we think about our disobediences and things like that, which all of us, to some degree or another, have been guilty of those things. And sometimes we have had to live with the consequences of that. Sometimes there's been an active sort of a judgment that comes upon us by the Lord. But it's always with the objective of bringing us back. And when he brings us back, this is a beautiful thing. When he brings us back, we can expect him to bless us. See, God doesn't hold a grudge. It's not like we sin, God deals with us, we repent. And then as we move forward, God says, well, you know, I would bless you, but the last time I did that, you really went astray. And so I'm not ready to do that yet. And we have to understand, although we as human beings behave like that, God doesn't behave like that. And Moses understands that God is a God who not only restores us, but he blesses us after we have gone through that time of correction, that time of chastening, if you will. And so let's just look at each one of these, the four points here, and let's look at them through the lens of this is what God wants to do. Let your work appear to your servants. Oh, I love that. Lord, let your work appear to your servants. Maybe maybe we've been distracted. Maybe we've been not engaged in the work of God. Maybe we've lost sight of what God is doing. But the prayer is, Lord, let your work appear to your servants. Lord, let us see what you're doing. Lord, let us re-engage in the great mission that you are accomplishing through the Holy Spirit, through the gospel. I love that. And I want that for my life. I want that for your lives, that God's work would appear to us. And secondly, your glory to their children. Oh, and this is the one where anybody who has children, anybody who has grandchildren, you know, this is the cry of our hearts. Lord, we've seen your glory. We've known about your great works, in a sense. Lord, may that same glory, may that appear to our children. May they know that. I know for myself, this is a big prayer of mine. I pray for my children. I pray for my grandchildren. I pray, Lord, you know, you did something in my life. You did something through my life. You did something with my life. And Lord, I'm praying, I want you to do the same thing in the lives of my children. I want them to see your glory. I want them to understand your greatness. I want them to be able to say that, Lord, you know, you have been our dwelling place. You have been our protector. You have been our sustainer. You've been the place where we have found rest. I want them to say that for themselves. And I know you want that too. And this is a prayer that Moses is expressing, and it's a prayer that I think we all can express as well. And then he says this, let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. Now, for me, in my mind, I just picture all of this, you know, let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. Just that hand of the Lord on our lives. You know, when God's hand is on your life, there's a beauty about that. There's something that's extraordinary about it. There's something that's not even a lot of times explainable. People will just say, like, you know, I don't know, there's something about this person. And what that is that's the thing that Moses is talking about here. Let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us and establish the work of our hands. Establish the work of our hands. Yes, Lord, establish the work of our hands. Remember the first part, let your work appear to your servants. And then in the end, Lord, establish the work of our hands. The work that we're doing is the work that God's doing. And we're just praying, Lord, would you establish it? Would you solidify it? Would you give it permanence? Would you cause it to bear lasting fruit? So like I said, this is the prayer that Moses is praying, but it's a prayer of faith. It's a prayer of expectation. Moses is praying this is because this is what God wants to do. And I think we should never forget that. This is an expression of what God wants to do. He wants to reveal his work to us. He wants his glory to be not on us only, but to our children. And he wants his beauty to reside upon us. And he wants to establish those things that we are doing that he has called us to do. Now, you probably noticed that there's one verse that we have skipped. And that was intentional. And that's because this 12th verse that we're going to now close with, this ties everything together. And look at what verse 12 says. So teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. So remember the context. He's talking about the brevity of our lives. He's talking about the fact that, as James said, our lives are but a vapor. So, since that is the case, Lord, teach us to number our days. Lord, teach us to realize that we don't have an unlimited amount of time. We have a lifetime that, even if it extends out to the 70 or 80 or 90 or even 100 years, it's brief. It's a brief period of time. And so, teach us, Lord, to know that that is the case and then to, in light of that, gain a heart of wisdom. I think it's the King James Version that says, apply our hearts to wisdom. The idea is, in light of the brevity of life and the temporal nature of my presence here in the world, Lord, in light of that, help me to live wisely. Show me, give me the wisdom on how I am to live my life that is not unlimited in duration, that is here for a moment and then is suddenly over. Lord, help me to live wisely in light of that. So teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. You know, as I look at this passage, I was just thinking, how do we really apply this? And as I just began to think about the different ways that this verse might be applied, I just want to take and just really quickly, just give us five things that wisdom will lead us to do. So number one, wisdom would tell us this, that life is short. So the wise person recognizes what life is short. Therefore, I really can't waste another day living for myself, living for ephemeral things, living for things that don't matter. Life is short. In other words, I need to make the best of the days that I have. I need to live wholeheartedly for Christ. I need to live wholeheartedly for Him. And I can speak to you now as a person who is in my 60s. And I mean, even when I say I'm in my 60s, it sounds like, what? How can I even say that I'm in my 60s? But I am. And I, like everybody else who reaches this stage in life, you look back and you think, well, there's more time behind me than there is ahead of me. And I can't believe how quickly it has passed. And whatever's ahead of me, that's going to pass very quickly as well. And that is the reality. So teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Wisdom says, live wholeheartedly for Christ. Because when it's all said and done, that will be the thing that matters more than anything else. Secondly, wisdom would say, lay aside today, right now, lay aside every weight and the sin that is impeding us and run with perseverance, run with endurance the race that is set before us. You see, as a Christian, you are in a race. Now, you're not racing against me. You're not racing against your fellow Christians. You're in a race against time. You're in a race against the opposition to the kingdom of God. And there are things that are going to hold us back. There are things that are going to slow us down. There are things that are going to prevent us from persevering. And so whatever those things are, and I'm quoting here from Hebrews chapter 12, but there's two things that he mentions. Lay aside every weight and the sin. Every weight and the sin that so easily impedes us. So there are weights and sins. Sins are obvious. If there's sin in my life, sin is going to slow me down. It's going to drag me down. It's going to keep me from running the way God has called me to run. So, you know, what is sin? Well, just open up the Bible and it is pretty clear telling us the things that are sinful. And those are things that are kind of the obvious things that we are not to be engaged in. But then there's this word weights. What does that mean? Well, a weight is not necessarily a sin, but it's just, it's an impediment. It's something that is, it's there that's holding you back or preventing you from giving everything that you have in this race. And so that it could be anything. It could be something that's actually innocent in one sense because it's sort of morally neutral. But nevertheless, because it's come in and taken so much of your energy and your focus and all of that, it's become something that's holding you back and slowing you down. And you will know what that is. But wisdom would say that I need to set that aside. That's what wisdom would say. Set that aside. run with perseverance the race that is set before us. Thirdly, wisdom would say, train yourself in godliness. Train yourself in godliness. You know, as we go through life, and of course, the older we get, you realize that, man, life habits are important. Think of it just in the sense of physical training. You know, the older I've gotten, the more I've realized that I can't just sit around and do nothing. I've got to exercise. I've got to get out. I've got to get my blood flowing. I've got to get my heart rate up. I've got to do those kinds of things. And those are things that are going to hopefully give me strength and preserve me so I'm able to, you know, serve the Lord as long as possible. Well, we as God's people, we need to train ourselves in spiritual things. We need to train ourselves in godliness. And we need to recognize that godliness doesn't just happen to us. We can't just sit by passively, and now because we've received Jesus, we think, now I just hang out and I'm just going to become everything that God wants me to be. No, there's a component where we have to engage and we have to train ourselves. And so these are things that are common and they're commonly known, but like even, you know, an exercise or a workout, we can sometimes, I know this, I know I'm supposed to do this, I know I need to get out of bed and go take that run, I know I need to do that workout, but tomorrow, I'm going to do it tomorrow. And we can do the very same thing with spiritual things. So what are the things that are going to train us? Well, you know, Bible meditation. There's no substitute for Bible meditation. Bible meditation, meaning you open the Bible yourself and you get before God and you say, God, teach me. God, speak to me. And you do that consistently. Bible meditation, prayer. That's obvious. We know what prayer is, but it's not just praying before a meal. It's not just praying before a big event in our lives that we're asking God to help us with, but it's praying always. It's just developing a life of conversation with God and you know, speaking to Him about our own lives and the lives of others. And then fellowship. When we talk about fellowship and discipleship, I want to kind of put those two things together because sometimes we mistake just hanging out for fellowship. But fellowship has a component to it where we are mutually building one another up in the faith. So fellowship is putting myself in a place where I am going to be built up and I am going to in turn build up other Christians. And so again, it's not just showing up, sitting in the back, listening to a sermon, and then going about my business for the week. No, I've got to be more involved. I've got to train. I've got to get there with the team early in the morning and do the calisthenics and take the lap around the track and those kinds of things. That's what fellowship is. And then giving of your resources. This is a discipline. This is something you train yourself to do. Our tendency is to not give. Our tendency is to withhold. Our tendency is to be, you know, of course, at times our tendency is to be selfish. And so I train myself. No, I need to give, serve. I actively get myself involved in things that God is doing. And so I serve, and this is a part of giving, right? I'm going to give my time. I'm going to step away from my pleasure maybe, and I'm going to go serve someone else. I'm going to serve the greater purpose of the kingdom of God. And there's other things that we could add to this, but we'll leave it at that. But the point is training yourself to godliness. And then fourthly, wisdom would say, learn all you can about God. Learn all you can. Get to know the Lord. Learn all you can about God through the Bible. Understand the gospel. Get yourself into some theology. Read theology. Get to understand what some of the deeper things mean. Read about Christian history. Study Christian history. Know who you're connected to. See the men and women that God has worked in and through their lives over the centuries. Know what God has been doing. Know God's world. This is God's world. And to know about it, to understand it. So wisdom says, I'm going to train myself. Wisdom says, I'm going to learn all I can. Basically, wisdom says, I'm going to devote myself to the things of the Spirit of God so that however much time I have left here in this world, it's going to be time well spent. It's going to be time that is used for the great purpose of God's glory. And then finally, wisdom says, live by faith. Live by faith. Now, the other voice is going to say, don't do that. Don't take any risk. Just settle in, be comfortable, have an easy life. Just try to get by, just make it. Don't worry about excelling or anything like that. But, you know, wisdom says, no, live by faith. Trust God and let him lead your life. Let him lead you in an adventure where you're going to take risks. You're going to look at something and say, man, that's kind of risky, but I feel like God wants me to do it. The alternative is, well, I could just stay here and I'm going to be comfortable. But no, God's saying, no, take that risk. Live by faith. Love God. Love God. That's wisdom says, love God. And then finally, love people. And when I say love people, what that means practically is invest in people. You see, it's easy to say, I love people. I love all those people over there. But really loving people is investing in people's lives. And you see, again, these are the things that matter. These are the things that in the end, these are the things that we take with us. These are the things that are going to be weighed out when we transition out of time into eternity. It's the impact that we've had. So finally, in closing, live your life every day with an eye on eternity. Live your life with an eye on eternity. Jesus put it like this. Jesus said, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth. And in that context, Jesus is talking about literally things. You know, he's talking about earthly treasures, but anything can be a treasure. But the point is, do not lay up things here on earth. That's not the priority. Rather, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Live life with an eye on eternity, because before you know it, we will take a step out of time into eternity. And then the only thing that will really matter is, did we live wisely? Did we apply our hearts to the wisdom of God? And through that, did we live the life that God created us and saved us to live? So that's my encouragement to you, and that's my encouragement to myself.
Let's take a quick break and listen to what Pastor Brian and his wife Cheryl are saying about this month's resource on Back to Basics.
Years ago, Brian, who's in studio with me right now, said, Cheryl, we need to get really honest about our marriage to the missionaries here in Austria. We need to tell them just the things that God has done in our marriage and how it hasn't always been easy. And so I said, okay, Brian, I'll do it. And it was quite a sacrifice. And what I found out was
that somebody actually was recording that session and a video was produced from it. So it kind of came as a surprise to us. But as a result of that video, a lot of people somehow got blessed. And so that is our offer for this month.
My humiliation.
Your humiliation. And it's called Marriage Essentials. And it's from a few years ago. But I have had numerous people, seriously, over the years tell me how much it ministered to them. I've had people tell me that they've used it to share with their unbelieving friends. And because, you know, somehow it ended up being a very humorous occasion.
Well, our marriage is pretty humorous.
Pretty humorous.
It's got a lot of joy.
Yeah. All right. So that's a DVD, Marriage Essentials.
Thank you, Pastor Brian and Cheryl, for sharing about this month's resource. You can order the Marriage Essentials DVD and CD set by Pastor Brian and Cheryl Broderson by going to our website, backtobasicsradio.com. Scroll down until you see the photo of Marriage Essentials, and then click on the Donate button. When you give a gift to Back to Basics, we'll send you the Marriage Essentials DVD and CD set by Pastor Brian and Cheryl that is sure to be a great gift for newlyweds, a help for marriages in trouble, and it's also an excellent tool for a marriage ministry. It's our way of saying thank you for your generous support of this ministry. We'd also like to remind you that all of our other resources are waiting for you at backtobasicsradio.com or by calling our request line at 1-800-733-6443. That's 1-800-733-6443. Our desire is to encourage you in your daily walk with God. We'll continue tomorrow with more valuable insights from Pastor Brian as we study together the Songs of the Saints. Back to Basics is the preaching and teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.